All right, welcome in to the latest our Bill Simmons podcast. Recording this on a Monday night. The Celtics are currently up 7 against the Knicks in the fourth quarter. So hopefully, as we're recording, they will lose and Simmons will be in a bad mood for the pod tomorrow. But welcoming in Steve here from Twitter. What's going on, man? Glad you could join the show.
Yo, what's up, Tribe? How you doing, man?
I'm good. So we've been interacting a lot on Twitter, which has been fun. And I was trying to think back. When did we officially start? Did you find me or did I find you? I think you might have found me.
I did. A buddy of mine, his name is Reese. He actually sent me something in one of our group chats about a tweet that you had, and it just made me laugh. And he was like, "You got to follow this. You will not stop laughing." So I checked out your stuff and I started following you, man. It is just absolutely hilarious, dude. Every day, man, I get a smile on my face and I just start laughing.
That warms my heart. I'm glad there's other Simmons people with a long history with him. I appreciated it because I have been blocked by Simmons for
That's
months
so
now.
awesome. That's so
Yeah, so he blocked me. I've told the story on the pod before, but briefly, it was because I criticized his TV. I criticized Any Given Wednesday. I said he wasn't good on TV, which frankly, I think he should admit to himself that he wasn't good on TV. But anyway, he saw that tweet, he blocked me. But what I appreciate that you're doing, so I didn't realize this until recently, you've screenshotted some of my tweets and then tweeted them under Simmons. So he still is getting our Bill Simmons pod content, even though he blocked it.
Oh, I guarantee you that man sees everything. He likes to get on his podcast and say he doesn't pay attention to that, but you know damn well if he blocked you, he's paying attention to every single thing that people are saying about him.
Well, how did he block me in the first place? He had to read that tweet and he's blocked me on another account. So he's read. I mean, this guy, I don't read my mentions. Come on. I don't read my replies. Are we serious? And didn't he have to have, he had to have seen the CJ Stroud tweet going around because he brought it up in the podcast.
Of course he has. Like I said, that man sees absolutely everything, and you can kind of tell by the tone of his tweets sometimes that he's been paying attention. I just think it's hilarious that he says he doesn't pay attention, and you just know damn well that he's paying attention to everything.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, no, that's why I have to mock him because he wouldn't be as mockable if he actually was straight with the facts and what he did, but it's him trying to act like he's not doing some things. Like it's the classic him claiming that he didn't have a private chef and then he actually had one. Like that's why he's so easy to make fun of.
You go deep on Bill Simmons. I love it, man.
Well, why don't we start that with you, man? So why don't we go take us through a little bit of your Bill Simmons history?
So my Bill Simmons history. So I am 37. So I started reading Bill Simmons. I graduated high school in 2005, and it was right around that time where he had Page Two going. And I distinctly remember that he had a Remember Page Two, for your listeners that don't know this, Page Two was really long. Like, he would just ramble on and on with stuff, and it was really good. Like, it was awesome. But he went to the prestigious Holy Cross School, and he went with someone there that was from actually Wisconsin, where I'm from. And he wrote an article that he went to come visit his college roommate, flew into Milwaukee. He went to a Brewers game, and then he went up to Lambeau Field. Brett Favre was still on the team, to give you an idea how far back this blog goes. And then he went back down and he went to another Brewer game at Miller Park, and he spoke glowingly about Wisconsin, right? Like, he loved the Brewers. He was talking nice about the Packers. He even talked really nice about the Bucks. And yeah, so I was a fan kind of right off the bat with them. I loved all of his content. I thought it was really, really good. And he's also spoke glowingly about kind of the Milwaukee Bucks, like saying that he wanted to be the GM, that the Kings Lakers actually isn't the worst officiated series of all time, that is Milwaukee and Philadelphia. And I mean, he's spoken really, really positively, and so I would say the last couple of years, which I'm sure we'll get into as to why that is. But he was really, really good. And then I think kind of the where I started kind of making fun of him a lot is kind of what we were just talking about, when he said like he didn't really check his mentions, he didn't really do this. And then just at that time, the Patriots were rising. The Boston Red Sox were really good. They were winning World Series, Patriots winning Super Bowls. And then what just put him over the edge, man, was the 08 Boston Celtics. They win the title, and it is just kind of like been nonstop then. It was kind of good for a while when Boston was really bad, the Celtics, that is. And then once they got good, man, that's when I thought, like, he really just kind of fell off a cliff.
Interesting. So that's some good context, because we haven't always had that perspective on this pod. Like, a lot of the times I get people that come on and they kind of echo what I think, which is kind of, it was that Any Given Wednesday era when he did the show, he went to the ringer, he kind of lost it. But that does make sense, because so you're saying that he maybe went from more of an unbiased NBA guy. Obviously, we knew he was pro Celtics, but you think the Celtics being great really took it to that next level where it was too pro Celtics for you?
He was very, very unbiased. Very, very unbiased about anything in general. I think today he's still got a little unbiased in him, but if you're a direct rival to the Celtics, he will shit on you, your team, the entire podcast. Like, he just will not stop. Like, he brings it up like he brings up the 1986 Celtics. But I agree with you. When he got on TV, do you remember, it was the Ben Affleck interview that was really weird. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it seemingly he was drunk. I mean, he was under the influence of something, it seemed, right?
Yeah. And then I remember, like, he had Ben Affleck, and then he had Joe Rogan on, and Joe Rogan was like, you could just tell, like, this is where it's just kind of funny, because he tries to be like he knows things about combat sports and UFC, and he knew nothing. And Joe Rogan picked up on it right away, and he was just like, why am I even here? Like, why are you trying to tell me what I already know about my own sport? Like, I'm with you. And that was kind of when it started going downhill, because, right, that was probably the first time that Bill Simmons ever had any type of failure. You know, he gets fired from ESPN. He goes and starts The Ringer. It's his big HBO show, his big comeback. And, I mean, we can say it, like, it was a flop, dude. Why he even thought it would be a good idea to have a show on when live sports are on a Wednesday night, like, sorry, man, no one's going to listen to that or watch that.
Yeah, I think it was, he was complaining one time that he was going against Game 4 of the World Series with the Chicago Cubs. Bro, this was have some long-term planning. I mean, you knew Wednesday at 8 o'clock or whenever you had the show, there's going to be sports there. I mean, let's be honest here. So I agree. It was bad planning.
It was really bad. And then kind of, if you remember too, even before that a little bit, like, his stuff on NBA Countdown, I thought was pretty bad. And he has done, I would say, pulling back the curtain, he's probably done a good job of describing why it's bad compared to TNT and maybe some of the other non-NBA pre and post game shows, which I can appreciate, but they were still pretty bad. Like, that group, I believe it was, wasn't it? Jalen Rose, Michael Wilbon, Magic Johnson, Bill Simmons. There was kind of a rotating host there for a little bit. And they just could never find his way. And yeah, man, those were kind of two of his bigger failures that he's had.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that iteration was as good. I did like the iteration with Jalen, Doug Collins. I thought that was a better three. But then the issue with that was always Sage Steele, not the best host for those three. She couldn't. Terrible. And didn't let Bill cook.
I agree. And I think you have to ask yourself, as from an executive standpoint, like, if you're going to have Bill Simmons on one of these shows, right? Because back then he was the fans fan, right? The guys, he was the sports guy. And he kind of had takes that you would have if you were sitting around on a Saturday night drinking beers with your buddies. And to your point, they just never let him cook. And it was a bad product. It was really bad.
Yeah, I think there is a place for him to do well with that show, because, like you said, he gave that perspective. I also feel like let's add historian to that perspective as well, where he'd try to put things into context, which I liked. And then Jalen gave player perspective, Doug Collins coach perspective. So I liked that threesome. But yeah, the host didn't work. And then, yeah, to your point and what Bill said and what everyone can see when they're watching this stuff, they don't let anybody cook. The halftime show is so little. And then unlike NBA, unlike TNT, where that show can go on for how long, like an hour, hour and a half after the game, they cut it quick to go to SportsCenter if it's after the game. And then before the game, I feel like they only do maybe half an hour versus an hour for the TNT guys. So yeah, I agree with that. And then I also think I was disappointed by Grantland Basketball Hour. Do you remember that one?
I do. I can remember one of my fondest memories of that is Zach Lowe being on TV for the first time, and you could just tell how nervous he was. Like, he is night and day how much better he is now. But yes, I do remember the Grantland basketball hour.
And to me, that was so low energy. And it was sort of like, why? It was a precursor to Any Given Wednesday of why is this a TV show over a podcast?
I agree. And when you listen to Bill Simmons now, that's basically what that Grantland basketball hour is, especially the Sunday nights with Russillo. I mean, it's basically this kind of the same format, the same going back and forth, the same riffs, the same hot takes. Did you know that Bill Simmons, in my opinion, is the one that invented the hot take?
Yeah, why don't we expand on that? You sent me that, or you tweeted that, and so let's get some insight behind that. I like that one.
Well, if you just think about anything that Bill Simmons says, he doesn't do it. I think when people think of hot takes, they think of Skip Bayless, they think of Stephen A. Smith, they think of, slamming your fist on the table, being loud, being crazy, saying something that's just so outlandish that no one would say. Bill Simmons does the same thing, but he just does it as if he's sitting on the couch with you. He does it in a calm way. He's not demonstrative. He's not emotional about it, but he just says it like, So I love Ryan Russillo like that. I could listen to that guy forever. He's actually the reason why I got into podcasting during the pandemic. But he had a thing, and I'm pretty sure that Bill Simmons squashed this. But he had a thing like that. He's just started doing. It was every Wednesday, and it was kind of at the start of the football season. And he based it off of. He didn't really say Bill Simmons' wild takes, but it was about. Do you remember a couple of years ago? I think Saquon Barkley played like three games, and Bill Simmons declared that he was the best running back he's ever seen.
I do, I do.
Like that is like a hot take that probably doesn't get picked up anywhere, but like that's the kind of stuff that Bill Simmons says, and it's just wild, man. Wild.
I got another one for you, which you tweeted about, I think. The Kyle Pitts's floor is Travis Kelce.
Oh my God. I can remember too. So this was a couple of years ago. I can't remember if it was before or during the pandemic. I want to say it was before, but I remember he was driving for whatever reason to Arizona for one of his like a soccer tournament or something. And he was, I think I told you this when we were texting before. He was like driving back and he heard the Miami Dolphins and Arizona Cardinals. He heard them on like Sirius XM radio. They were two terrible teams at the time. And he like gets on his podcast and says he really liked the announcers and that, oh, there's something going on with Miami and Arizona. I'm like, dude, you just got that from an announcer saying that in the car. Those teams were like 2-6 at the time they played. Like, what are you talking about?
That's kind of ringing a bell to me. Absolutely, yeah.
Like, it's just so out of left field. It's like, Jesus, like he gets so caught up in the moment. And I don't know if it was because we're just older now, but when I was younger, I appreciated it more. And maybe I just didn't know what was going on well enough. But now it's just like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
I think he's much more overreactive than he used to be. Because when he was writing, those things were set in stone. So if he had a bad take, he'd have to, you go back and you see 3 weeks ago. And then also when he is so kind of by the end of it, right? He was kind of doing two columns. He was doing his NBA columns, and then he would do the NFL picks columns. That was the majority of what he was writing at the end. And even those NFL picks columns, he was doing mailbags for half of them, whatever. But fine, he was still doing a column. He still had to pick the games every week, think about it a little bit. You can't just write immediately what comes to your mind. You have to do a little research on it. So I think when you contrast that to no writing anymore, and I really don't think he's doing that much research. He's watching some games, maybe he's on Twitter checking a few things. He goes right to the pods with Cousin Sal, and that's all he's doing. He's going from what he saw, watching the games, if he even watched them all, even if he even watched some. He's seeing an occasional stat here and there. Maybe he's reading an occasional Ringer article. He was definitely doing more research before, so I do think he's more overreactive. And even today on the Simmons subreddit, somebody had a post saying that. Look, I think the Guess the Lines pods aren't as good as they used to be. And people in there were saying, yeah, like there's something missing from those pods. And I think it is. And it wasn't that Bill always had the best analysis, or, you know, if I wanted that, I can go to a Football Outsiders podcast or something. It was he at least mixed in a little bit of analysis with joking around with Sal and the betting lines. Now it's no analysis. And that's where some people, myself included and others, are saying, wait, do I really need to be listening to 90 minutes of this every week?
Yeah, I think you touched on something. I think it's two things. I think the first part is that he's definitely not writing more. And I think when you have to sit down and write something, you obviously have to do more research. You have to pay attention. He's probably checking with sources or checking with other things, you know, whatever it is that he was doing when he was writing. But I think the second part is, man, the audience is a lot smarter now. It really is. Like you mentioned, like
Good point.
Football Outsiders, you mentioned just all of the NBA podcasts that you can listen to now, whether it's Zach Lowe. Like, I think Ben Solak is awesome at The Ringer, and he's a really good writer. He knows exactly what he's talking about. There's Steven Ruiz there as well. Kind of bummed they lost Kevin Clark, but he's an excellent. Like, there's a lot of smart people out there that are either on Twitter or that are writing for prominent websites. Like, it's very hard to fool the audience. And he's even admitted before, like, he doesn't. I think he's a really good interviewer. I don't want to take that away from him, but when he's talking sports, like, I don't think there really is a big plan there, and he's just winging it. And you can kind of tell with the guests that he had it has on. I know Joe House is on there all the time. Like it's kind of, I don't know what, just kind of lame. I don't know if that's kind of the best word for it, but you could just tell that he is. It's not that he's fully checked out, but you could tell that he is not at the top of his game as he used to be.
So this brings up a question. If let's say, so page two, Bill Simmons, let's say in 2023, 2001, Bill Simmons comes to the stage and he's out there and he's making the rounds trying to be a writer. Do you think he has the career and success as Bill did back in the day?
No, absolutely not. But I would also say, though, again, this isn't trying to take away anything from him. I think his popularity rose as the Patriots' popularity rose. I really do believe that. I mean, you could kind of look at some of the other media companies. I think Barstool is another good example of that. I don't know if Bill Simmons is as popular as he is today, or maybe he maybe doesn't even own the Ringer if the Patriots and the Red Sox don't go on that incredible run that they went on.
Yeah, that's true. And his first book was the Red Sox book, and he's writing these, you know, I think he didn't he write from the Super Bowl the first time the Patriots won, so that leads ESPN.com when
Yeah.
he's writing these Red Sox articles. Man, I mean, yeah, people, you know, because I'm in my early 30s, so for the youngsters out there, the Red Sox Yankees rivalry in the early 2000s, I mean,
It was
that
insane.
was national. Everybody was watching that. The teams hated each other. There were fights. I mean, that w everybody would, even if you were even if you were a Milwaukee fan, like you were into that because th this was, I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was. And I like you can remember Pedro Pedro Martinez
Throwing
and the
down
crazy shit
Don
he did.
Zimmer.
Yeah. R.I.P. Don Zimmer. But I mean, the Red Sox and Yankees played a bunch of series before the Red Sox finally broke through. You have the 3-0 deficit, and it was insane. And I think the majority of people, I would say, rooted for the Red Sox just because of the evil empire and the Yankees. But that's when Bill Simmons was at his best. And that's a huge criticism that I have about him now is, you know, even early on when he was podcasting, but mainly when he was writing, he would talk about other sports. Now it's either the NFL, the NBA. He'll get Ariel Helwani on to talk a little UFC and try to act like he knows what he's talking about. Bill Simmons, that is, not Ariel. And that's basically it. Maybe he'll talk a little WWE and forget that someone died. I don't know. But like that's all it is. Like I feel like as a listener, I'm really not learning anything new from a sports perspective. Like a lot of people that I talk to, like they take everything that Bill Simmons says heart to heart. And I was like, man, I just listen to him for entertainment. Like, it's actually funny to me to listen to him because I think it's just so funny because he has no idea what he's talking about sometimes.
Yeah, I think that absolutely has to be the way to do it. Yeah, I saw this tweet from somebody today that was like the Bill Simmons podcast is the best comedy podcast.
It is.
And that's really what it is because otherwise, but you know what I do think? the NBA holes, and like I'm using NBA hole. I don't want to use that as a derogatory. The people that are very invested in the NBA, those people, I do think they take Simmons at face value, and they do get mad when he overrates or underrates teams based on how they did against the Celtics. So if you're an NBA person, you pretty much have to follow Simmons closely and listen to his takes. Whereas for us that like sports, yeah, I like the NBA, but I also like other sports. We've basically become lower on the priority list for Simmons to get listeners, whereas he's serving up NBA, and people just love this because it's been a question of, as the pod quality has suffered, because I do think it has, is this hurting his listens? And, you know, maybe he's lying. I don't know. But he's out there saying that his podcast has more listens than it ever has. And the reason I believe that is because I think the very fierce online Gen Z NBA base, they're eating up Bill Simmons content.
I think so to a point, but I do think like you can kind of tell if you look at some of the demographics of his podcast specifically, you know, like Pardon My Take is the number one sports podcast in the world right now. It's much bigger than Bill Simmons is and probably much bigger than Bill Simmons has ever been because it's a new audience and it's something different. I think that I'm a big NBA guy. Like I would push back on that a little bit. There's not a lot of smart NBA people that I know that are listening to him religiously like that. They may casually listen to him or maybe they follow him on Twitter and see some of that stuff. But basically what you're getting from Bill Simmons the last couple of years is just straight Celtics talk, maybe mixed in with some other stuff, but he's going to somehow find a way, bring it back to the Celtics. Like I just had a buddy who just started listening to Bill Simmons and he was like, does this dude always bring up the Celtics? I'm like, yeah, man, that's just it. It basically, you know how like the Ringer has with Jared Goff, they have the Chicago Sports Podcast. I believe they have, what is it, Off the Pipe with Boston. I mean, that's basically what it is sometimes. It's just a locked-on Boston Celtics podcast, and that can get really annoying. I do think that turns a lot of, like, the hardcore NBA people off because, like I said, man, there's Dunked. Zach Lowe was really good. I mentioned Russell was really good. Like, there's plenty of the Brian Windhorst podcast is just awesome, and that's just straight facts every time you listen to that podcast. So I do think the diehard NBA fans are a little bit turned off by Bill Simmons, but I do get your point on what you're trying to say there.
Yeah, and I think, well, okay, so question for you, how did this person start listening to Simmons?
Well, Bill Simmons, I mean, he still does have, you know, what is it, 5.8 million followers on Twitter. I mean, he's all over the place, and he really pissed off Milwaukee Bucks fans, which what he's been saying.
Oh, yes. Okay, we got to get into this, yeah.
All summer. So, like, I just think, like, and also, man, he's somebody to listen to. Granted, there's a lot of podcasts that are out there, but he's still, you know, even as we're having this discussion, I think he has, right, he's the biggest sports media guy as far as Twitter followers. So, I mean, like, he still matters. I just don't think he matters in the type of way that he wants to matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know that completely makes sense. Yeah, let's get into this. So, okay, that was interesting, and that reminded me that Bill has historically had a decent relationship and kind of talked up the Bucks because they're a small market team-ish. Bill's kind of always been, protective is not the right word, but kind of rooting on these teams. Yeah, he had. So was he going for the GM of the Timberwolves and Bucks at different points?
Yeah. Because Milwaukee was really, really – our ownership was really bad for a while. It was that. It was Minnesota. I mean, he had one time Milwaukee was playing Atlanta where he was like, if it wasn't for some family function that he had, he would have walked to Milwaukee because he thought the crowd was going to be so great. Like, he's been very, very complimentary. But the last, I would say, 2 years, year and a half, it's gotten pretty bad. Like, he is not popular at all in Milwaukee at all.
All right, so you can I want to give you the floor for it, but I do within your answer, I do want to hear about the constant Giannis is going to leave and then boom, he doesn't actually leave.
Well, I think it kind of goes back again, you know, if you remember Matt Ishbia, I mean, he was in talks to buy Milwaukee, but then the Phoenix Suns thing came up. And then that's also a funny story where he did not think Frank Vogel was going to get that job. That was pretty funny that he was wrong. But basically, Milwaukee is basically small-walkie. That's what they call it because it's very small and everybody knows everything. Like, one of the Bucks co-owners lost a ton of money in Bitcoin. It was very, very well known. His valuation of the team had basically like tripled. He didn't want to pay the luxury tax. He wanted to get out and make a couple billion. And that's what happened. It really had nothing to do with Giannis leaving, but Bill Simmons just likes to poke the bear there and get people fired up. So he started saying all this stuff. Then all of a sudden Giannis decides to stay. Everything's fine. The Bucks ownership group is actually, I believe they're more wealthier than Boston Celtics ownership group. So suck on that, Simmons. But yeah, he does the same thing with the Miami Heat. No, it's basically Milwaukee and Miami are two of his big rivals in the East. And of course, as much as he talks about the Celtics, he can't help himself but talk about the Lakers. So, like, it's just he likes to take little pot shots at whoever is the biggest rival to his favorite team.
Yeah, he really dropped the ball there with the Bucks owner selling. I didn't realize that Bitcoin thing, but now that is ringing a bell to me because it isn't he part of – is like Fortress Investment Group ringing a bell? Is that? Basically, I think this guy, was big into Bitcoin. So that makes total sense that he. But even regardless of that or not, these things happen from time to time. I mean, the Celtics, I think it's several different private equity people have ownership stakes in the Celtics. They probably bought the Celtics for $200 million valuation. And it's worth $2 billion plus now. Probably that's lowballing it. It's probably $4 billion plus. Why wouldn't you monetize some of that? I mean, at a certain point, somebody's going to monetize some of their stake. So, and Bill Simmons likes to think that he kind of had – he understands the financial side of sports as well. So that was just a huge whiff that he didn't – that he really thought it meant that Giannis is going to leave. Now, the other one, do you have a theory on why he doesn't like Ishbia now? Because he had him on the podcast, and I thought the conversation was fine, but now he's just killing the Suns anytime he has the chance.
Yeah, it's very, very odd to me. You can kind of tell. I don't know if Ishbia, they had a falling out because Ishbia said he was going to do something or didn't. It's very weird. I have picked up on that as well. Maybe he was just told by an Ishbia source on who the head coach was going to be, and they stab him in the back, or he thinks he got bad information. But it's very weird. Like, I don't understand where it's coming from. The Phoenix Suns are very, very good. Are they as good as the Boston Celtics? Maybe not. But no, he just likes to rip on the whole new owner syndrome and all this other stuff. But I don't know where that came from. I would guess that it has something to do with that coaching thing, because he was very, very confident on who was going to get that Phoenix Suns job. And he was very, very, very wrong on who got that Phoenix Suns coaching job.
Well, then I wonder, was there a reason for Ishbia to erroneously leak this to Bill Simmons? Like, what was the reason for that? If it was even his, it's just a weird situation overall.
It's super weird. And some of the stuff, going to what you kind of just said before, when Bill Simmons, like you said, he understands the financial part of this or things like that, when he was talking about, oh, the NBA expansion teams are going to be, you know, Las Vegas and Seattle. I mean, anybody can kind of read the tea leaves and come to that conclusion. Like, it's not like it's something breaking news, like, oh my God, Kansas City is going to get an NBA team or something like that. It's just all, to me, it's all very, very just right there out there. All you got to do is read some tea leaves. It's not like, you know, he's some big NBA insider like Adrian Wojnarowski or a Shams Charania or something along those lines. So it's always funny when he kind of, like, to your point, thinks he gets the financial stuff and thinks he gets this. I mean, I think he gets some stuff right, but some stuff's just like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, that Bucks ownership group was so hilarious. Like, dude, you're so wrong on what you're saying right now.
Yeah, I will give him credit. He got the purchase price pretty good for the Suns. I'll admit, if people from the subreddit are listening, I thought it was going to be less than $4 billion, so I was wrong. I'll admit that. So he got that right. But, yeah, he's gotten a lot of things wrong. And, yeah, like, he isn't a Woj. So, and, like, I would say Zach Lowe is not a Woj, but, like, sometimes Zach Lowe will break stories. But Zach Lowe has the reputation where Yes, we know that he's not typically a Woj in breaking stories, but when Zach Lowe comes out with the breaking news report once a year or whatever it does, you listen because he probably nailed it. And Simmons, he was on a decent streak there where the things he was hearing from his rich guy circles were right. I think even if I extend it from the NBA, he said something about maybe Brady that came true a little bit while later. Probably plugged into Brady's circle, so I guess kudos to him and he's sharing that. But Simmons has been on a pretty decent cold streak now with the ownership in Giannis and now with this Suns coach, that the next time Simmons says, hey, I got a source and I know what's going down, you know, look, you cried a wolf a few times now. You've been wrong. We can't trust you.
Yeah, I agree. He has been wrong. And like I said, this is kind of where the entertainment value comes in. And I don't know what the mindset of some of that stuff is. And I think there's times that he maybe knows more and he kind of holds back. But when he says something, I think you kind of expect it to be right. And he's been on a cold streak for a while. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this. How long do you think Simmons is going to go on with his podcast like this on the sports side, not the rewatchables? I'm talking strictly like the sports stuff here, because I think I read one of your tweets. It's very stale, and it kind of, that's probably unfair. It's not very stale, but it's just the same rotating guests every single time. And there's nothing new there that like, I haven't heard this person before. I wonder what this is going to be like.
Dude, it's such a good question, because I think that he, when he sold Spotify, he did a 4-year employment contract. And as part of that contract, you have to do X amount of podcasts every year. So when we're in the depths here of these terrible guests week after week, that's just Simmons fulfilling the contract. Now, once that contract ends, maybe there's some leeway there to either, if he re-ups with Spotify, maybe he doesn't do as many podcasts, because I think, look, he's already taken the 6-week break. To your point, you know, some of these pods are not great. Does he really need to be doing it 3 days a week? So I think there's room for some cutbacks for sure. On the other hand, I do think he likes his voice being out there. Increasingly with the kids, with one kid at college and one kid going to be at college in a couple years, he'll have more time to himself to potentially, you know, he needs a hobby. So I would forecast that he does keep potting, but maybe he takes more breaks, or he takes a longer break in the summer, and maybe he does more like he's selective about the pods. Maybe he does a pod or two a week as opposed to doing 2 to 3 a week. So that's kind of where my head's at. Because the other option would be, I would say I don't think he signs with Spotify again and does as many pods as he's doing now. The other option would be going out on his own again, which, look, he could do. I mean, if he wants to build the Ringer 2.0 again, he could. But now we're talking Bill Simmons, what, he's low 50s, mid 50s. If he goes out on his own again, this would be the third company he would do. I mean, Grantland was inside of ESPN, so that helped. He had ESPN funding and infrastructure and all that. But the Ringer was a big deal. So do I think he does three? That's tough. He still could. Maybe he could take a break before he does. But yeah, my thinking is status quo, but just eases up the pods. What do you think?
I can see that. I think his the staff that he has in specifically football, I talked about that. I think that's really strong. I think the NBA is a little bit stronger. I'm actually surprised that he hired Howard Beck. I know that he ripped Howard Beck to shreds for the Kyrie trade, which is one of the most – one of the worst podcasts I've ever listened to, and Howard Beck was 100% right. But I don't know, man. That's why I wanted to ask you, just because – I could see him kind of stepping back, but then you posted something. Who was he talking? Was he talking to Bloomberg, where he did kind of that media tour or whatever that he was doing? And he was, you know, kind of saying stuff like, you know, he's still on it. He feels like he's better than ever. I'm like, dude, who is in your ear telling you this stuff? So it doesn't sound like he's going to slow down anytime soon, which I find a little surprising.
Yeah, that was the Bloomberg with Lucas Shaw, who goes in the town a lot, Matt Bellany's podcast, as part of The Ringer. And then he breaks a lot of news, like Netflix type streaming news at Bloomberg. He's pretty good with that. So yeah, that was interesting because that was the one where Bill's like, yeah, my podcast gets more downloads than it ever has. So that was, I think, my theory for that media tour. I am calling it a media tour, but it's two interviews. No, but he doesn't do many interviews, so that makes sense to call it that. Yeah, my theory on that was he was talking himself up to either get another contract with Spotify, or my dark horse theory candidate here is he signs with Apple to help build out the Apple podcast platform if he leaves
Ooh,
Spotify.
that's interesting. That's interesting. Do you ever see him possibly going back to ESPN?
What's the fit though?
I don't think there is a fit there. But he keeps talking about these documentaries that he makes, and like I don't see half of them. Like it doesn't seem like it's promoted very well. I know the Andre the Giant one was on HBO, but a lot of this stuff that I mean, I know there's a Vince McMahon one coming out, but like. Did you remember the last time a Bill Simmons documentary was heavily promoted, like how it was when he was at ESPN?
But that's the thing. What even is a Bill Simmons documentary?
Good point.
Because he's giving a couple notes here and there. I mean, look, I used to be the most massive Bill Simmons fan there was. So I maybe I'm giving him a little too much shit, like to course correct, but what was Bill Simmons doing on all these documentaries? He's not a movie producer.
I think he, I do think he wants to be.
I mean, maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know. But if Bill Simmons can point me to distinct, specific additions that made movies better, I'm all ears and tweet about it and say you had the suggestion that made Andre the Giant amazing. But I want to see the proof before I admit that he was doing that.
That's a very good point. Although I would counter with that and say Bill Simmons cannot help himself to tell you all the stuff that he did on some sort of documentary. He can't help himself.
That's true. I'll have to do this again because there is a James Andrew Miller. He was the guy. He's like
He's
the
great, man.
ESPN.
He's
Yeah, he's
great.
like the ESPN historian. He wrote Those Guys Have All the Fun. So he has this Origins podcast where he was doing 30 for 30. And this I was listening to this right as I was turning on Bill. So maybe it did help me in that progression, but 30 for 30. So you're hearing from a variety. You're hearing from John Skipper. From I think Connor Schell, Bill as well, and could have been editing. I don't know. I'll have to go back and maybe other people that have listened to it comment when I tweet this out or in the sub. But Bill came across as petty, arrogant, and wanting most of the credit, whereas Connor Schell and John Skipper were more. This is more teamwork, and this was kind of a broad ESPN thing, not just a Bill Simmons thing.
I agree, and that's what's so fascinating about all this stuff. He's kind of like, so I have twin daughters who are three, and he just sits there, or he kind of like pounds his fist on the table and just wants the credit. Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And like I said, man, I don't know if it's just because I'm older. Maybe he was doing this the whole time, just not as bad. But it's just like, dude, no one cares, man. Like you have hundreds of millions of dollars, like just chill. Like you don't need to be front and center and want to get the credit for everything like he says he does.
Well, and that's why I commented on that Lucas Shaw interview, the Bloomberg interview, because he's sitting down for an interview. It's not like the interviewer is being hostile, but Bill is treating these questions as an affront to him. And this is not the first time he's done that. So Bill went on Peter Kafka of Recode Media. He's really big in doing tech type interviews. So he'll have tech guys, he'll have media guys on, and so that it's a great podcast. He's a good interviewer, and that was another one where Bill is taking all these questions to be an affront on him as a boss, as a podcaster. Not everything is like that, Bill. You can kind of relax a little bit, and you've been successful. You've climbed the mountaintop. No one's given you crap about any given Wednesday in these interviews.
Yeah, and I consume, like I said earlier, I listen to some of Barstool stuff, specifically Pardon My Take, and even Dave Portnoy, as crazy as that dude is, like he does not act like how Bill Simmons acts. Like I just want to kind of go back to that Howard Beck thing that I was talking about, because I was driving with my wife. I remember clear as day. It was when Cleveland traded Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics, and Howard Beck wrote this article, like basically saying Kyrie has never been the number one guy on any team before. It was LeBron James. When he was the number one guy, his record was below 500. He's kind of got a little bit of an attitude problem. Just kind of questioning, can he be a leader, all this other stuff. And Bill Simmons had his lackey on, Kevin O'Connor. And all they did was just rip this article to shred. And you know what?
No.
Howard Beck was right. He was 100% right. It only took like 2 years for those guys to see it. And then they just started ripping on Kyrie. But like, it's stuff like that where he just – it's not even that he has to be right. It's look at me. I came up with the idea. I did this. I did that. And that's kind of where I get a little bit turned off. I wanted to ask you though, when did you start getting a little turned off from Bill Simmons? Was it around that time the Miller book came out?
Yeah, there's a couple of ones. Yeah. So one was just, it was Any Given Wednesday because, okay, let me do this. It was Any Given Wednesday because I'm watching that show going, this is terrible. And look, this is before that show happens, this is my idol. I consume everything this guy does. I mean, what did I do? Yeah, I applied. He was having some grant. He put out a post one time about hiring Grantland interns, and I was in college at the time, so I applied to it, didn't get it. He had when he left ESPN to do any to the HBO, wasn't even called Any Given Wednesday at that point. When I was in my cubicle, one of the first jobs I had after graduation, I was working long hours, and like I would daydream about writing for Any Given Wednesday for the HBO show.
No shit. So
I got a document on some laptop. I got to find it somewhere or in some saved email draft of all these ideas I had for his HBO show. And I was close to finding an email form and emailing that stuff. So I loved the guy. I loved everything about him. So when he does Any Given Wednesday and it's terrible, I go, wow, this is like a sanity check. Like this is a reality check that this guy is not all that he was cracked up to be for me. So that was one. I think number two, the podcast suffered for sure when he was doing Any Given Wednesday because he didn't do as many pods because he had the best guests on the show. And then remember he had those KD pods and those were just atrocious. I mean,
they sounded like they were mailed in.
Those were so bad. And like anyone who's a Simmons fan knows that those were not the quality of his previous pod. So that was a turnoff. And then I'll do two more quick ones. Another one was, yeah, see, like this gets me excited because he used, like, I was such a huge fan before. So two more. One, when he was at ESPN, he consistently said, hey, they're taking out the best eight jokes in my column, or he would imply that he wanted to like hate on ESPN personalities or like criticize announcers, stuff like that. Didn't do any of that when he left. So, you know, I was expecting a takedown of ESPN, didn't get it when he left. And then the final one, I think this relates to a lot of what you're saying. And this was the final straw for me. It was when he became way too arrogant with a lot less knowledge about his teams.
Yes.
It was the Patriots on Guess the Lines getting way too – I mean, he was like, bro, like the Patriots are a great team. They've won. They don't have haters coming for the team after they've lost a game. Like, no. Everybody still knows Belichick and Brady are goats. And yet Bill would get so annoyed with 1% of a dig at the Patriots when he can dig – and anyone else. So yeah, put those four together and then general just laziness with guests. And yeah, here we are. Here I am doing a podcast dedicated to, you know, what I'm doing.
I love it. It's awesome. But I wish that Cousin Sal would go at him on Sunday nights a little bit more. Like I think Russillo really gives it to him as much as an employee can give it to their boss. Like I think he has saved that Sunday night show that they do after the NFL season about the NBA, because he's actually knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about. He actually watches all the games, and you can just tell that Bill Simmons does not. Like I said, like that take thing about Saquon, there's so many. You could go, whether the stuff he said about Anthony Davis, I mean, more recently, Scoot Henderson, just any big take that guy has. Like, hey, Bill, Scoot Henderson was the number two pick in the draft, dude, or number three pick in the draft. Like, you didn't invent the wheel here that nobody knew about him. Just like it's like he found this diamond in the rough, dude. No, you didn't. You did not.
So one of those takes, which relates to you, Bill Simmons, before the season, he's going through his NFL picks, who he likes, who he doesn't like. He's like, oh, the Lions? Nah, Lions aren't that good. They're not going to make the playoffs. Like, everybody likes them. I don't like them. But the team that I do like, the Packers. So we got Ewing theory potential with Aaron Rodgers. And then do you remember on that pod where Sal's like, oh, so what do you like about the Packers? He gave no answer. He had nothing. The only thing that he said was Ewing theory potential, which didn't even make sense because Rodgers won a Super Bowl with him.
Well, and that's the other thing. He said he was going on vacation for like, what, 5 to 6 weeks? And that's what he came up with was that. Any Packer fan on the planet could have told you that they weren't going to be that good. Throw in the fact that he is married to this take that Tua isn't good and he would take Mac Jones over Tua. Like, dude, shut up, man. Mac Jones sucks. I have Patriots fans in my life that are diehard Patriots fans and will tell you that Mac Jones sucks. Like, it's just like he is – the older he gets, he's more married to a take, and he just can't get off of it.
Well, and he's not representative of the fan base because
– he doesn't even live there. He doesn't even live there anymore.
No, I mean, I live here. I'm a Patriots fan. I have many friends who are Patriots fans. No, everybody is like, look, we had a good run. Mac is not that great. And let's just, we are in the camp of like, hey, it'd be nice to get a good QB in the draft. But we're not freaking out. We didn't think the Patriots were going to win the AFC East. Everybody thought they were going to be in last place. I thought it would be kind of interesting to see, you know, I'm looking at it going, yeah, as a Patriots fan, it's not going to be that great of a season for me, but as an NFL fan, man, we got that Aaron Rodgers to the Jets storyline. Man, that's a great storyline. Another year of Tua with that offense. Man, that's great. So the AFC East was going to be this incredible division if Rodgers had stayed healthy. The Patriots were not part of that. So Bill shoehorning them in and saying they were going to win the AFC East, just pure delusion.
It is, man. And that's the part that you said. Like, I can say, so, like, you know, I also host an NBA podcast. I could say, like, hey, man, like, I know that the Bucks suck, but I'm hoping that they do this or stuff like this, right? Like, I would never, if my team sucks, I'm never going to say, hey, man, they're going to win the NFC North this year. They're going to win the Central Division. And here we go. Like, I would never, ever, ever say that because I know that it's not true. I think that there is a very – and this is where the homerism part comes in. I think there's a very distinct difference between, hey, I'm going to talk shit with some of my friends that maybe aren't the team that I like and, you know, yada, 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 just guys being dudes or dudes being guys. But, like, when you go on a podcast and say this stuff and you really mean it, like, dude, what are you talking about, man? Like, wait, I could tell you didn't do any research as to what you're doing.
Well, Bill's rational about his teams, right?
Yeah. I like you keep putting that clip, dude. I cannot stop laughing. I'm Jacoby just going, oh, here we go. Here we go. And Rob Mahoney just laughing. Dude, it's so good.
It's so good. Yeah, it's great because Simmons – here's Simmons thinking that he can just say whatever the hell he wants on a podcast and it's not going to come back to haunt him. Bro – we're coming for you. We are clipping these. Even the Ringer is clipping these. The Ringer was the one who clipped the CJ Stroud take. We're finding them. We're coming for you. And no take left unturned here. If you have bad takes, Bill Simmons better watch out.
And that's the other thing that sucks, dude. Like, he does not like college sports, nor does he watch college sports. So he has no idea what he's talking about. Like the Scoot Henderson stuff, dude, he was in the G League Ignite. I know you. Maybe you did a documentary that five people saw, but you, it's not like you're breaking the mold here with some of this stuff, dude. Like he watches like one game and goes, oh my God, this dude, what guy, what does he say? Can you play on a championship team? Can you play? Can you be in an eight-man rotation today? Do I trust that guy? All right, man. Like if that's your analysis for everything after one game, more power to you.
All right, so you said something earlier, which I like talking about in the pod. So, yeah, so you were a big BS pod listener. Now you're listening to a lot of Part of My Take. What's the reason for listening to more Part of My Take, and then compare and contrast the two pods in 2023?
Well, Part of My Take is funny. So it's a bunch of different stuff that they do. They have amazing guests on all the time. Like it is an entertainment podcast, and they know that it is an entertainment podcast. Like they are what Bill Simmons probably used to be, but they're just funnier. They don't take themselves seriously at all. Like it's a good listen. And like I said, they have really, really, really good guests on. Like really good guests. Bill Burr has been on it a bunch of times. Any big guest that you can listen to, they've been on that podcast because it's the number one podcast in the world. Bill Simmons, like his is just like he tries to be serious, but you just know if you just pay attention to a little bit, like he's not serious. He's just so wrong. And it's just entertainment in the way that he doesn't want it to be entertainment.
So then why is Bill not getting good guests?
Well, if you kind of listen to some of the stuff like Russillo does, he'll do like Feedback Friday or something like that where I think producer Kyle said it, or nephew Kyle said it, like he just doesn't like doing interviews like that anymore. Like it has to be really, he has to really want to do it, which is surprising because I touched on it earlier. I think he can be a really, really good interviewer. Like he's a good host and stuff like that that is not necessarily sports driven. I think he knows to kind of how to extract something out of someone that he's interviewing. Obviously the Kevin Durant ones aside, because I don't know if Kevin Durant was probably the best guest for something like that, but I don't know why he wants to do it. I think he would be way more, I'd be excited to listen to him if he did stuff like that. I do not know the reason why he doesn't want to do that. And he just wants to have his friends on all the time. I that completely boggles my mind.
It's got to be the hunger and the laziness. And then there's a little bit of maybe he likes to hear himself talk and he knows the ringer lackeys won't push back. I mean, maybe part of it too is that, so this would be less for the celeb interviews, but this would be more for one of the part of my takes I listened to was Mike McDaniel was on there. And I thought that was great because he's a guy who, like, he's an interesting guy. Look, he comes from one of the best offenses in the league with one of the best coaches, comes to Miami and immediately changes their entire fortune. I mean, this was a team hasn't been good in decades, it seems, but immediately a game changer from the previous coach. And yet he does have that peculiar kind of personality out there. So for a podcast like Part of My Take, when those guys can kind of loosen him up a little bit and joke with them, that to me is a great interview, and that's something that you'd want in a podcast. I'm not even saying that Bill Simmons needs to try to crack the Mike McDaniel nut, because that's probably a higher degree difficulty interview than some other ones, but where is Bill having on a coach of any kind? Where is Bill having on players? Where is Bill? The only thing he's doing basically is having Doc Rivers on, and probably part of the reason he's doing that is Austin Rivers doing a podcast for The Ringer. Where is Bill Simmons having on actually interesting guests from these sports? And I would say maybe the reason he's not doing it is because deep down, he does actually know that he doesn't know a lot about these sports anymore, and he could potentially be exposed if he has on these other guests, and so he just sticks to what he knows. That's kind of my theory for what's going on here.
Oh, I agree with that. Like, I know that Part of My Take, they do a grit week. You know, they've had Matt LaFleur on. They've had Arthur Smith on. They've had a bunch of coaches that have been on that podcast. I think Nick Saban has even been on that podcast. Like, they kind of put themselves out there. And like I said, they market themselves as, I mean this in the nicest way possible because they're very, very smart, but they mark themselves as like two idiots who just happen to talk about sports, right? Like, that's, It's very, very loosely based. And I'm wondering, you know, if Simmons sees that, and I would love to give him some truth serum or maybe go out drinking with him one time and find out, like, how much of an effect does the success of Barstool have on him, right? And I'm not even talking necessarily about Dave Portnoy. I'm just talking about some of the other podcasts that they have, because they are extremely popular, and I would be willing to bet that they're way more popular than The Ringer is.
Have to be. Yeah, and part of my take is the number one sports pod, I think, right? Like, I don't
know. It is. It's number one, and it's not even close. Like, Barstool tried to hire Russillo, but Russillo wanted to go – this was obviously pre-pandemic. He wanted to go to the West Coast, and I don't think Barstool wanted to do that.
Interesting. And, yeah, Russillo goes – you know, it's funny that Russillo, while he will go on Barstool – there's just never going to be a Simmons crossover with Barstool.
I don't think so. Russillo talked about that they were maybe thinking about doing something, not with Portnoy, but with Russillo, Bill Simmons, and PFT and Big Cap, but they just couldn't make it work, and I think it was just too difficult or whatever that is. But it would be really funny if that happened. I would love to see how Simmons could handle himself in a role like that with those two other guys.
Oh, he couldn't. That's why he's not doing it. Because he can't make him fun of himself. Never has.
And, you know, you talked kind of about the arrogance. And even like when Dave Portnoy was coming up in Barstool, and I saw the clip, and even Russillo has kind of filled in some of the blanks. Like, you know, Portnoy was hustling his ass off, working 7 days a week to try to get his website off the ground. And he asked Bill Simmons for some help, being two Boston guys. And Bill Simmons kind of basically just gave him the cold shoulder. I think they're fine now, or at least that they respect each other and they've exchanged some DMs. But, like, I mean, Simmons giving someone like that the cold shoulder, who's from his own hometown, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think it just speaks to the arrogance of that.
Yeah, that was very interesting, that interview, because you almost never get any content between be with Simmons talking about Portnoy and vice versa. So yeah, it's tough to judge because we weren't in the situation at hand. Dave seems to be fine with it, but of course he's successful now, so it is easier to be fine with it after you've had the success he has. But I did like how he said he didn't like Simmons's excuse that he didn't want the attention. Because that does seem like it's an excuse. I mean, again, without having full knowledge of the situation.
I would 100% agree with you. And I just think it's kind of lame, man. Like, you should – if you're someone that's big and popular, you should be trying to help other people off. But maybe he just saw that as competition and wanted nothing to do with it. I have no idea. But I will tell you, like, I would get my popcorn ready if him and Portnoy ever get on a podcast together. I would be fascinated by the entire thing. It'll never happen, but I'd be fascinated.
Well, and that speaks to, okay, well, if Bill Simmons was hungrier, do that podcast. Because even if you haven't listened to Simmons in a decade, you're putting that podcast on.
100%. And you want to see just what – I'd be fascinated to know what they're going to talk about. Is there going to be a little smack talk there? Are they going to like each other? Are they not going to like each other? Are they going to talk about gambling? There's just so many different things. But, again, like, you have – you know, Simmons out on the West Coast now, when you have Dave Portnoy sitting in Robert Kraft's suite at Patriots games, he's sitting courtside at Celtics games. Like, he's going to Boston Bruins games. Like, that dude is, like, I think he's way more Boston than Simmons is at this point, or maybe more Boston than Simmons ever was.
Yeah, true. No, I totally agree. Yeah, now Simmons, you know, something else he didn't have the pulse of the Boston fan on was when he was rooting against Tom Brady the first year that he was part of the Bucks. They're literally the only Patriots fan I'm aware of that was that. Like, everybody I knew was rooting for him, and the only time they weren't rooting for him was when the Patriots would play the Bucks potentially. So
yeah.
Just
yeah. Weird. Yeah. You ain't wrong, man. Like, he's just I can see where he would be a little bit out of touch. I mean, he's got like 15 different houses. He's super rich now. Like, he is not the sports guy anymore, man. And he's kind of risen above that. And maybe that's where that arrogance comes from. And I'm sure that's where part of that laziness comes from as well.
Yeah. All right. So I went through your tweets of you tweeting at Bill Simmons and replying to him. So I wanted to hit on some of them I thought were funny. Okay, so one of them. So the Collinsworth mocking. I mean, personally, I'm over it by now, but I do think it's funny that he still hasn't gotten over apparently Collinsworth calling him out. But is the Collinsworth mocking a bit too much for you at this point?
It's every podcast, man. Like he's clearly on. Chris Collinsworth is doing the biggest football show in America. Like he's got to relate to all the fans that are watching. Like, yeah, I'm with you. I think it was maybe funny the first or second time, but it's been bad and annoying since.
Well, and Collinsworth, dude, he's one of, if not the best color guy in the game, right? So why are we making fun of this guy? At Collinsworth, whenever I'm watching the Sunday night game, I'm learning new stuff about these teams and players and schemes that I don't learn at other broadcasts. So I know that like Simmons will occasionally say, "Oh, well, we do this because we love him," but you're taking it a little too far, I think.
I think so, but I mean, we didn't really talk about it. That Collinsworth clapback was fucking awesome when it happened, man.
Oh,
That
one of the
was
best
so
moments
good.
in history. Yeah.
So
God.
good. But it's to your point though. It's so annoying. Like I can go on Guess the Lines. I don't even have to listen to it. You know, it's gonna be some Chris Collinsworth making fun of. It's gonna be Bill Simmons going in on the Dallas Cowboys and Cousin Sal giving Bill Simmons a pass on how bad the Patriots suck. It's every time. Every time. I don't even have to listen to it anymore.
This is the first year that the Cowboys have been very good and the Patriots have been very bad, and yet we're getting nothing from Sal. Sal has been a disappointment this year.
He has been, dude. He should be going right at him. I have no idea why. Maybe because Bill Simmons is his boss too. I have no idea why.
Yeah, maybe it's because whatever they did, Sal. Sal's now back at the ringer after he did his own thing before. If what something funky happened there. But that must be it. Okay, another one. You chided Simmons on this, and the sub did too. This was amazing. So it wasn't only that the Bills crushed the Patriots in the 2022 playoffs. It was also that before the game, and you referenced this, there was some like Bill was saying this wonky stat for cold weather would keep the game close.
Dude, yeah, man. Like, dude, just, yeah, I do remember that.
That was absurd.
He will, again, homerism right there. Just absolutely ridiculous homerism that comes out of his mouth sometimes. Like, it's so entertaining. You can't help it.
Yeah, you referenced this. It was something like, was he trying to say the crowd would be quiet if it was cold? I mean, what?
He's so bad, dude. He's so bad.
Oh man, do you ever go on the sub, or were you on the sub for that game?
No, I'm not. I've never been on the Bill. I think I've been on it like once or twice, the Bill Simmons subreddit.
Okay, well we had a celebration when that happened, and then somebody made a this was incredible. So in the beginning of I forget if it was the beginning of the year or if it was the audio of the podcast before, but someone overlaid a podcast of Bill like hyping up Mac so much over just endless Bills completely crushing the Patriots, and it was so good.
Dude, remember the first year that the
I'll have to
Patriots
find
got
that and tweet
Mac
that out.
Jones, he said that Mac Jones was going to be like Tom Brady. He picked them to go to the Super Bowl. He picked them to go to the Super Bowl and lose to Tampa Bay. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, dude.
That was amazing. That was it. You know what? It might have been that prediction was overlaid with some fun music, and then with the Patriots getting decimated by the Bills. Just incredible scenes. I mean, that's what
You just
Bills
gotta love
is.
it, dude. Like it's shit like that he says. You're just like, what are you talking about, dude? Like a rookie QB is gonna come in and Mac Jones of all people are gonna come in and take the favors. Kids, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it.
Well, and especially because it wasn't like Mac was the first pick. A rookie
No, he
QB
fell
I
to
can
them.
maybe get if it was a better QB, but not Mac Jones.
No, it's so It's just so bad. I can remember, man. I was at the gym listening to that podcast and my jaw just dropped. It just literally dropped. I was like, did he just say what I think he just said? I could not believe it. One of the all-time Bill Simmons tapes.
Amazing. Okay, so another one. And I remember being annoyed by this one too. So, okay, so it's early 2022 playoffs. The Bills beat the Patriots. So Bill obviously is not happy with the Bills. Then the next season, so starting 2022, proceeds to have create this straw man that everybody is saying the Bills are going to go 20-0.
Yeah, and I believe he said, I just got to see it. Are we sure they're good? I just got to see it. I just got to see it. I just got to see it. Dude, and that's the point that I'm saying. Like, if that was not the Buffalo Bills that played in the AFC East and a direct rival of the Patriots, he would not have said that at all. That's the only reason why he said that.
And nobody was saying they were going 20-0.
Nobody was. Nobody was. And that's the stuff where you just kind of roll your eyes and you're just like, all right, man, I can't take you seriously right now at all. I literally cannot. And then he'll say something. He'll say that, and then he'll go, oh, Josh Allen is good for like nine wins a season. Like, what are you talking about then, dude?
Well, and it's these things where he never allows himself to take an L. So, look, like, you know, I would say, like, if I just zoom out to life in general, like, you're at work or you're with your friends, like, you know, typically you don't want to be taking constant L's, but some self-deprecation can go a long way, like, occasionally here. So, Bill Simmons, like, think about this Patriots season. It was Patriots are going to make the playoffs. And then four games in, once it was evident that they were terrible, it was, oh, Mac Jones is the best tank commander. So he never let himself have like one week where he was sad the Patriots weren't doing well. And that's all we're asking for, Bill. Like, we need a little bit of an admission that things aren't great for you at all times. And so that's kind of where that Bills one was, where he's creating this myth that everybody thinks the Bills are going to go 20-0. So even if they win the Super Bowl but don't go 20-0, he can claim a W because they didn't go 20-0. It's like, dude, you don't have to go 1,000-0. You can have a loss here and there.
And that's another reason, you know, you asked me about part of my take. That's why, like, Big Cat is a diehard Chicago Bears fan. They're terrible. He's PFT is a diehard Washington Commanders fan. They're terrible. Like, they can be self-deprecating themselves, and it's funny. It's funny. Like, I do not think that Bill Simmons could ever do that. The closest we've ever gotten was when Bill Simmons was that meme in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. That was it. That's the closest we ever got. And even then, he barely mentioned it.
And he liked the fact that he became a meme. So that was true. Part of it. That was part of the win, was that he's part of internet culture now.
True. Very, very true. Very true.
Yeah. All right. So another one. So I had forgotten about this until I read it in your comments. And I want to set this up because, yeah, we've talked about it. I think everybody listening knows. Bill, horrendous 2023 NFL takes. I mean, Patriots, obviously. Packers, obviously, being anti-Lions. Being pro Giants to make the playoffs, saying awesome. Jets for Jets wins over the Giants. Like, this dude basically got every single thing wrong. But then let's go back to 2022. And do you know the take I'm going to reference on one of his bad NFL takes for 2022?
I have no idea, but I can't wait to hear it.
The Panthers being good.
Oh my God. Every week. Even when they traded Christian McCaffrey, he's still sitting there like, oh, the Panthers. Like, dude, what research did you do to continue to say the Carolina Panthers are going to be good?
Ugh.
Like, that's what I would want to know. Like, the next summer, when Bill Simmons comes back from vacation, just do a podcast. I will listen to it. I will take notes. Do a two-hour podcast on the research that you did for your NFL picks, because I have to hear it. I have to hear it. It is the most hilarious thing ever.
Now, who even was their quarterback last year? Darnold?
Yeah, it was Sam Darnold and it was Baker Mayfield.
Oh my God.
Terrible. He's so good, dude. Like, you're making me like Bill Simmons again. These takes are so terrible, dude.
And he sticks with them. That's the funniest part.
It's so, like, the Austin Reeves stuff for the Lakers is like, oh, I'm the only one out here on Austin Reeves Island. Dude, no, you're not, man. A lot of people like that. And he just hates the San Antonio Spurs because they didn't offer him $100 million. Why would anybody give Austin Reeves $100 million to play basketball? Stop it. Stop.
Yeah, why would you risk your cap being screwed for years just to potentially get back at somebody who he kept wanting the Spurs to do it? But this is the same guy who always says, well, that the Cavs didn't do enough to keep LeBron. And, you know, he always talks about that where the teams move too fast with stars. But yet you're saying the Spurs should have sort of risked signing Austin Reeves. No, absolutely not.
100%. The only reason he's saying that is because he hates the Lakers so much. Like, there's no informed NBA take by that. That's what's so funny about that entire thing. Like, sometimes he'll hint at it, but I wish you would just come out and say it. Like, I hate the Boston Celtics, dude. Fuck that. Like, I have no problem saying that. He can't say that. He can't say it at all.
No. Well, he's a unbiased NBA expert who you know, he writes the book of basketball. He has his pyramid rankings. And look, man, you can't be biased for that, you know?
It's so good, dude. It's so awesome. It's so awesome.
All right. So this is one. We touched on this a little bit, but we can get more into it now. So, okay. So there was – so he's done this year, and he's done it last year. So he took a picture of the Fox pregame show, NFL. And it was seven dudes. So it was their typical five. Gronk was on it, and Sean Payton was on it. And so he was giving some crap about that. He's like, oh, I can't believe they have the stick. They have the seven-man TV show. And then you commented on that. You were on the worst pregame show of all time.
Yeah. Like, why are you commenting on anything like that, man? Like, the Fox pregame show, I believe, is the number one football pregame show that's out there. I'm pretty sure it routinely beats CBS in the ratings. Like, they're really good. They have great chemistry. Everyone knows who they are. Like, who in the hell are you to be giving advice on something like that? Like, just stop, man. Like, no one's listening to the wise guys' picks. Like, no one cares what your opinion is on an NFL studio show after you are part of the worst pregame show in the NBA.
No, literally, he really is speaking out of turn. I really think so. Because, yeah, like you said, the Fox show. I mean, somebody did an article on this recently, which actually I posted about this in the Bill Simmons subreddit like a couple months ago. So, honestly, people might be getting ideas from this, the sports media people out there. But, yeah, anyway, it was like they get 4 million viewers a week and the CBS show gets 3 million. So that's pretty substantial because why – like the games aren't watched that differently. So that means that a large percentage of people are choosing that Fox crew. And if anything, I would give Fox props because they have pretty seamlessly, it seems, added Gronk into the mix. And then Fox also has a good 11 o'clock show. Like I've been watching that sometimes because Schrager's on that and then Julian Edelman's on that. And I think Edelman's been a good addition too. So Fox should not be getting hate from Bill Simmons for their NFL pregame shows. And even, you know, leaving Fox out of it, just in general, Simmons is hating on these 12 p.m. pregame shows saying, oh, what are you learning from these shows? Bro, dude, what are we learning from your podcast? Like, who are these shows for? Who is your podcast for? People doing the dishes? Like, what?
Yeah, I sometimes I wonder if he just says stuff like that just so he can get on his podcast or someone can ask him, like, well, when I was on Countdown, that's another one. Like, you could hear that on a podcast. Maybe if you put the over-under at 1.5, I guarantee you it would be close every single time. But when I was on Countdown, yeah, man, we know. You were on Countdown. It was terrible. And like you said, that guy should not be criticizing anybody in the NFL that's doing a pre- and post-game show. From what you were on NBA, all right, man. Like, you want to criticize ESPN a little bit, have at it. But as far as the NFL goes. And I'm with you. I think they do a really good job. Like Fox has that pre-game show. I think Schrager's good. Let's go.
Schrager's good on TV, absolutely.
He's really good. I think he's a little too overly positive sometimes, but that's okay, man. That's his thing. That's his shtick, and it works for him. But, like, even NFL Network, Good Morning Football, all that stuff, like, they do a really, really good job. Way better than anything that Bill Simmons ever did on TV.
Oh, wait. Yeah, way better. Well, the irony is that he's now not on TV, but a lot of his former buddies and coworkers are. Kevin Wilde is on that First Things First show on Fox. And then Jacoby's now, it's a radio show simulcast, but he's on TV too.
Yeah, he's on with CBS, isn't he? With
Carton? Craig Carton? Or,
yeah. Carton and I think Willie Colon's on that show. And I think Greg Jennings is also on that show. Yeah, he does a really good job. Like a lot of his guys or the guys that used to work for him do very, very well. And which is a little bit ironic because he's not that good on TV, but those guys seem to be very good on TV.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, it's I get the desire to have a view on these things because, like, I have a view on these things. I like talking about this stuff on this pod and tweeting about it. But the condescension from Simmons on some of this stuff, when frankly, he should know better because he's been on multiple shows where it's kind of hard to have a successful show. There's a lot of producers in your ear. You don't get that much time. Like, to your point, why, you know, if he knew about this stuff on Countdown, why is he so critical of the NFL shows? And then Countdown, you would have thought this guy did Countdown for 15 years, the way that he talks about being on NBA Countdown.
I agree. And you can tell also that, you know, he used to be a comedy writer. And I think that's basically what the shtick kind of is. Sometimes he's just trying to be funny, but it just misses so many times. Like, I don't even think we're crossing the plate there. It's bizarre. Like, I don't understand the criticizing of other media members or shows like that, because it's not something that you would do. You know, we've kind of seen what you would do as far as TV with your Wednesday show that flopped and basically your NBA pregame stuff. And have you watched Wise Guys yet? Is that good at all? I have not watched it. I've seen it on my Twitter feed sometimes, but I just kind of scroll right past it. Is that good or is it like, ugh?
I've barely watched it. I've got no interest.
Good for you. Good for you. I like that.
I mean, yeah, why would, I've watched a clip here and there, but why? I mean, with all the content you could have on Sunday morning, why would you go with that?
I would never. I do like, was it you that tweeted it or was it somebody else that you retweeted it? But like he had to pop in on Wise Guys and give like some big bet that he had, and it just completely whiffed. This is a terrible gambler, dude. It's terrible.
Yeah, I forget which one it was, but I remember that, and yeah, that was.
I think it was the Eagles, like the Eagles to beat the Jets or something, and the Jets. Had, like,
oh, that's right. Yeah, he put the Eagles in all his teasers that week.
He's just so bad, man. It's so funny.
Oh, that's good. But yeah, to your point on Any Given Wednesday, yeah, I totally agree because Bill, I think what happened was Bill was always the notes guy. So he's doing for 30 for, you know, he's doing 30 for 30s. He's at ESPN writing, but giving notes as to the future strategy of the company. So he's done all that stuff. But then I'll do a third thing too. Like he'd write about Entourage, for example, and he'd say, hey, like here's three things I think Entourage could do to like make this to go from a good show to a great show. So like that was his playbook. Like that was what he would do. And it was entertaining. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but then he gets his own show. And so you would think that Mr. Bill Simmons, who could make any good show great and any great show amazing, could himself make a good show. And it turns out he couldn't. So, bro, like, you let down your fans, number one. You let down me and a lot of the other super fans because we couldn't believe how bad of a show it was. But you can't speak about any other people's shows because when you were given a completely blank slate,
yes, and
probably an unlimited, yes, budget based on what that set was and what happened. You came out with a bad show.
Not just it was terrible.
Yeah.
Did it even make it a full season?
No, it was supposed to go for 3 years and didn't even make it a full first season.
That makes sense. The eye test definitely passes that.
Yeah, that's insane, man. All right, so I want to make sure you can tell the listeners about your NBA pod. Before we do that, anything else that we did not cover that you want to go over?
No, man, I think this was super fun. I really would like to do it again sometime, maybe like halfway through the NBA season. But yeah, man, it is always fun to talk about Bill Simmons and just the most hilarious things that he does. I really can't get enough of it. I do listen to your podcast, and you are one of my favorites to follow on Twitter, man. It's really, really good.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love hearing that. I've been enjoying interacting with you on Twitter. Yeah, I had a blast today. So before I get you to talk about your show. Yeah. Speaking of that, I've now had, there's been a decent amount of like good NBA guests on the pod. So I might even think about trying to do a mid season NBA roundtable. If that was something you might want to do, I might think about that. Get some of the top NBA guests we've had on the pod and kind of do a check-in and, you know, laugh at some Bill takes, see what's going on. So yeah, maybe that, but then definitely if the Bucks and Celtics play, we got to do a pod around then. That'll be a perfect timing.
I might have a heart attack if that happens. That's the one team that it's like the NFL is the Bears for me and the NBA is the Celtics. Like we talk about that on our show. I mean, like I said earlier, I co-host the Overstated NBA show. You follow it, subscribe. It's really good. It's for all you NBA junkies and NBA nerds, but it's myself and Brett Usher that do that. And yeah, we really get deep in a lot of takes. We usually have a beverage or two as we're recording. I think we're doing something, I think Wednesday or Thursday this week. So yeah, man, check that out. Please, everyone, subscribe to that. That'd be really awesome. And subscribe to this show because I'm definitely going to tell my followers, even though I'm not very active on Twitter, but we do have a Facebook group called the Overstated NBA page, which is, it's pretty fun. It gets pretty awesome in there and we do a bunch of stuff throughout the year. And yeah, it's a very, very good time.
Love that. So for everybody out there, so if you're listening to the show right now, clearly you've enjoyed this podcast, you've enjoyed myself and Steve, and you've had a good time. Go check out their podcast. This is going to be an improvement on Bill Simmons Talk with Ringer Lackeys. It's going to be a better pod. So check that out. That'll be great. And then obviously, yeah, I mean, look, I had a blast. I think we'll definitely have to do this again sometime for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. This was super dope, Tribe. I really appreciate you having me on, man. And I can't wait for this to get released. And I'm going to enjoy the Twitter follow, man.
Love it, dude. Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot for your time. This is a blast. And I'll see you around the Twitter webs. And if you haven't yet, scope out the subreddit. It's a good time.
I am definitely going to do that.
A lot of like-minded Simmons fans there.
I'm definitely going to do that.
All right. Fantastic, man. Well, thanks again. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Cheers.